And we are recording now. It's all you.
All right, thanks. Okay, let's just start with the analysis flow lesson. Remember you had a preparatory work, so here's the first one. I hope you can see I guess you can see everything, right? I'm gonna switch back and forth between my terminal and the instructions, although the instructions I have them in my other monitor, so I can copy the commands while I do this demonstration. This sign that keeps popping up about this person who we couldn't admit for some reason, it's really getting a little bit annoying. Okay. There is one activity in the prep work that was really important. So please raise your hand if you completed it. And what I refer to is the need to have the files copied locally in your machine. I mean, we could work in some other way, I'll show you, but if you can, please do this because we're gonna need these files to work in the hands-on session. So I don't see that many hands. So is this because you didn't do it, or because you are not gonna do it, or because there was some problem? You can turn on your microphone if you like. It's okay. Well, okay. If you didn't have the chance to do it, please do it like in the break if you like, because yeah, we're gonna need these files. So I'm gonna jump to the next episode. Okay. So this is the episode for today. This is the demonstration. So in principle, you're welcome to follow along, but it's not required for this particular demonstration. It is just a demonstration. Okay, so that's fine. If you don't want to type in like crazy, that's okay. But this will get you introduced to what we're doing for the next sessions, okay? So let's go through the overview. I had asked you, and I guess you were going through with Julie as well about this Higgs to Tau Tau analysis, right? So it turns out that the Higgs to Tau Tau analysis is already implemented in this very simplified way. The code for this lives in two repositories. It is all explained here if you want to come back to this. It lives here in this AOD to Nano AOD outreach tool that we've been using for these demonstrations, and this Higgs to Tau Tau analysis repository. So in the first one, what happens is that you skim the data. You know, you have all these data sets and you want to pull out the basic information for your analysis because they are very large data sets. And so that's done in the first part. And in the second part, you really perform the analysis and make some plots. So this lesson is really about trying to do the same thing, but in an even more simple way. If you went through this code, let's just skim through or something, you may have noticed that they use the rDataFrame class from Root, which is an implementation that allows you to do columnar analysis rather than row analysis. You don't go event by event, but you go kind of like through the whole matrix of events. All right, so here's my little cartoon about what we're planning to do today. I even pay attention to the colors, which they match, right, the colors of our workshop. So essentially we're gonna, what we'd like to do is to pull out some interesting information from our data sets, the open data sets from CMS, and we're gonna pass it through the POET skimmer. Okay, so you already saw this. we could filter this, for example, by the trigger or imposing certain cuts on the physical objects. And then we're gonna end up with another root file, but this root file is not as complicated as the first one. It's a flat N-tuple, really. It's just a bunch of variables stored in a flat way. And then we're gonna analyze those variables in order to make some pretty plots. And in the process, we're going to have another root file with a middle histogram setting. All right, so we're gonna do essentially all what is in this blue part, and especially for the first step, we're not gonna be able to do everything because there are so many files in our data set and it's quite large. So we may need to do or use some computing, some cloud resources in order to do this. Okay, and we'll see that today and tomorrow. You know about this already, the data sets that we are interested in are these. So for the collisions, for the real data, for the collisions that happened in the machine, we are using the run 2012 essentially data for tau plus x data set. And we need to consider our background. Yes, you went through this with Julie yesterday, and we have drillions, right, especially to tau taus, but essentially to leptons. You have TDBAR, W plus jets. And also you want to compare this with the signal that you expect to obtain. And so we have two types of mechanisms for Higgs production. And you also went through this. You already kind of selected the trigger, remember? You're asking for a muon and a tau particle. All right, so this is what it's done also in the original simplified analysis. Now, let's try to think about this a little bit more carefully. Imagine if you are doing this analysis by yourself and you have to make all the simulations, then you need to know how many events you need to simulate, because this requires computing power, and you know, that's not always available or cheap. And so you want to do the most efficient production. And in order to know how many events you want to simulate, you need to do a calculation for the luminosity of your data. How many inverse femtobarns or how many inverse picobarns of data you have. All right, so in the first demonstration, I will show you how to calculate this using our tools. We have, fortunately, one guide in the CERN Open Data Portal, which is here. I'm going to open this, that shows you and guides you through the calculation of these luminosity variables. Okay, you can read this later, but I just I copied some of these instructions here, right? The most important, the ones that we need to execute in order to get our numbers. So I'm gonna start with a Docker container. Actually, I'm gonna start with a fresh container here. Okay, and let's see, it should be here. Okay, this is my fresh container. Okay, let's see if I can exit. So I can do Docker, by the way, is this a good size for the letters? I don't know if it's too small.
There's a couple of thumbs up in the chat, so it looks like at least some people it works for them.
Okay, I made a mistake of trying to find another one here, but let's see. I'm gonna exit this. The problem with that is Yeah. So I created a fresh container, and I called it my analysis flow, or a short for that. So that's what I'm going to use. Okay. So I'm going to do Docker start my analysis flow, and that will put me in my fresh container. Okay. So I don't have anything, right? I am at the home directory. And the source, right? But let me switch to my instructions here. Okay, so what I like to do is to go to the home area, so I don't pollute the source area of our CMSSW installation. And here I'm gonna just install this tool that we have in CMS, which is called BrailleCalc. All right, and if you go through the instructions, it will ask you to download this file, and you can easily run the installer with this line. But here, instead of local Brill conda base, we have just Brill conda. Okay, what happened? Oh, yeah. So sometimes when you're trying to access these sites at CERN, you have to use the no certificate sign. And I forgot to put this in the instructions, but actually is in our guide here. So this is the switch I'm forgetting in my wget. My mouse is giving me trouble here. So I'm gonna put that in there. Okay. I hope it's okay. One thing I hate about this. Okay, here we go. He's not finding this. Why everything works when you test it, but later is not found. Weird. I must have the wrong line in my own instructions, but the instructions from the official guide work. So it's taking a little bit of time. Should have probably copied this over already. In any case, this is what you have to do, right? And just install it. And then you go through all of these steps. You have to put it in your path. And install it with PIP, and then you have this executable called BrailleCalc. And in this guide, there are all the instructions of the different things you can do with this tool. But what we would like to do is to execute the luminosity calculation, and that's what I tried to show here. Okay.
The right address? What was the correct address to download this BrailleConda?
The right address should be here. Say again.
Could you paste it to chat?
Sure.
Thanks.
Maybe it's just my mouse that is acting up. Trying to compare. Oh yeah. I see this one has here 1.1.7, and I was using 3.0.0 because that's the one that I use usually in my LX Plus. I was making a mess. Sorry about that.
We can see it because it's just a dark square waveboard.
Yeah. Okay. I should correct that. Anyway, that's done, right? And
excuse me, hello.
Yes.
Just a clarification question. So it is mandatory to pull this in a Docker, but just to be not polluting your CMS software source repository, you have pulled it in outside of this, right? Am I right?
Yeah. Yes. I just went to my home area. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I'm in my home area, just because I don't want to have files there. But you could do it from inside. I don't think it's a problem.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. So now I will execute this. Replacing. Yeah, you can notice that I made a mistake because I have here this, I'm trying to install this 1.1.7.7, and here I have 3.0.0. You know, that's just a mistake. Okay, it's installing. Okay, so until that is done, let me talk about this Luminosity data quality files that we have at CMS. So as you can see here, the next thing I will do is to download these files. So the point is that each of the data sets, if you go to this one, for instance, the one that we are going to use, they come with this file, which has a collection or a list of all the validated runs and the luminosity sections that are valid. So we exclude here, essentially, in this file or with this file, we exclude all those events that had some problem with the detector or there was some issue with that. Okay, so we need this in order to calculate our luminosity because we're going to exclude those lumisections that are not good. And if you look at this file, you will see something like this. So here's the run and here's the set of the Lumi sections that are good. And you have a bunch of them, of course. All right, so we need that for our luminosity calculation. This thing is going slow. And then what we will do is to just execute this command, which is the Brill calc. We will ask it to give us the luminosity. We are interfacing this server via web, so we don't bother people at CMS. And in CMS, we have different types of luminometers that measure this luminosity. And for run one, it is the recommendation to use the pixel luminometer. And we can use different units. We will ask it to deliver the luminosity in inverse picobarn. And notice that for this data sets, you have run ranges, right? You don't have all the runs in these data sets, because this is the part B of the data set. So it goes from this run number to this run number. So that's why you have to put the range here, which I have done. And then we use the quality file because you don't want to take into account those luminosity sections which were bad. And then I'm just dumping this into a file. Okay, that's what I was planning to do, but maybe the time is not my friend. Okay, let's see if we can do this thing. So the next thing I had to do is this. Okay, and then I will install this Brill work suit. So this comes thanks to our friends in the Brill group, by the way, which I belong. And this is the Brillcog version to check that we installed it correctly. Yes, it's version 3.6.6, so that's good. And then we get our file for the quality luminosity sections. That went okay. And then we can take a look if you wish. Yeah, it's just a bunch of numbers, but you know now what they mean. It's just run and the luminosity sections that are good within that run. And then we just run this command and dump everything to our LumiLog file that we can read later. And yeah, once it's ready, we can cat this file. Oops, what happened? I'm caught in this. Maybe. Okay, well, this is gonna take too long. We really have to battle here. Yeah, I didn't manage to dump it in the text file, but you could do that with more time. I don't know what's going wrong. You know, this, it is really annoying that the Docker containers, one feature that I don't like is this going out of bounds and then everything gets mixed up in the command line. I think Cecilia suggested a fix, but the problem is that I couldn't find that package resize in the repositories of these releases. Anyway, if someone finds a fix for that, we would appreciate it. All right, so at the end of the day, right? At the end of the day, what you will get is an output, and you will get the total recorded luminosity here. So remember that the LHC is continuously colliding and the detector sometimes have problems. That's why you have this delivered, which is corresponds to the luminosity delivered by the machine. And we take a very large fraction of that luminosity, but not all. And some of those Lumi sections that are actually empty are here at the bottom. So here's a little note alerting you that if you get these ones, this means that they just were empty and they don't have any events. Okay, so that's the luminosity section, the luminosity calculation for our data set, which is very important because at some point, we will have to normalize our Monte Carlo data sets, right? And you know how to do this. The number of events that you expect of a process, you can calculate it, multiplying the luminosity, the integrated luminosity that we just estimated or obtained, and the cross-section of this process. And this is how you do it. And so in order to normalize your data set, you will need a scaling factor like this. Okay, and so this is quite important because otherwise your analysis is not going to work out. Okay, this is a dump. You know, it's very large. There are some luminosity sections that were actually empty, and so. Okay, so that's the first part of this demonstration. The second part is about the skimming. So remember that we are performing this analysis in two steps. The first one is the skimmer, right? These are large jobs, actually, or many jobs that with intention of taking the information out from these data sets and put them in a new root file, or it doesn't really have to be a root file. It could be, I don't know, an HDF5 file or even a CSV file, if you like, whatever format you want, but we are familiar with root, so you're screwed. I mean, you have to use root with us. Okay, so let's go to that. And the key aspect here is that we're going to use what you have been using, which is the POET package. Okay, so I have a clean setup here. So I'm going to go to my CMSSW area. I don't have anything, see? So I'm going to clone this from scratch to make sure I get all the modifications that probably were made for this workshop. And then I'm going to CD to the famous physics object extractor, which is the heart of this POET. Let's take a quick look at the POET configuration once again. So I'm going to try Nano since I didn't have time to install here another. I thought I had color here. Anyway. Okay. Right. So you went through all these different sections, I suppose. And the one thing that I'd like you to pay attention to is the. Is the source file. So you know what, I think it'll take too long to install Emacs here or something that has color. I think I know how to do this. I had, just a second, I'm gonna try to colorize this thing. Because otherwise it's hard to look at it. I should pick this one. Yeah, if I execute this line, I should be able to see colors in my Nano. Oh, great. Okay, that's much better. Yeah, can you turn off your microphone? I'm hearing myself. It's quite annoying. All right, thank you. So the one thing that I'd like you to see is that I keep hearing myself. I don't know why.
Chokri, I think you might be unmuted. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. So if you want to go through all the files in the data set, you know, going file by file is not the best way possible. You see here. You have this. The pole source where you input these files, and you have the is data or not, so you can run on data or simulation. But this is probably not the way to go if you want to process all the files in the data set. But here you have an alternative to run. Okay, so the first thing that I'm going to try just to test is how about if we comment this out, the whole section. Okay, and then uncommon, this section where you are using, you will be using the file utils tool from the framework, from CMSSW. And what you can see here is that you're actually loading the all the index files that you can get from the dataset site. Okay, so all these datasets have below, they have all these index files where the root files are. And instead of downloading or accessing each root file individually, you can use this functionality to just load the text files, and they will do that for you, okay? So take into account that these data sets are huge. So this one in particular is 11 terabytes. So it'll take you up to a month or so to process all of them in a single computer, perhaps. So that's probably not a good idea, but there is a way to do it, okay? Right, and the rest of the stuff, I guess you already saw. Notice that we also have this section here where we actually consider this file with all our Lumi sections that were blessed, that were declared good. So we are not taking into account any trouble Lumi section, any thing that was flagged as having some issues. Okay, so you went through all these different objects with Julie the last couple of days. All right, and here we should, in principle, change the triggers to the trigger that we want, right? So we should change this line perhaps to the just one trigger that we're interested in. And that's how you would process all this data. All right, but we're not interested in doing that now. What I'd like you to realize is something different. So let me just go out from here. Okay, so what I'm gonna do, what time is it? 8:30, okay, that's fine. So what I'm gonna do is to run this thing as is. You know, I just made the change of these file utils just to show you that it works. But then I'm gonna run it as is. And I'm gonna run it asking it to go through data. So I will put this as true, okay? And look that we should, in principle, change these files to the data set that we're interested in because we had this double mu part by default. But it doesn't really matter for our purposes for now. So I'm gonna execute this here. Oh, I have to compile first, remember? Always compile first. So I execute this cramb. And I'm gonna run. Okay. And what is going to be run is at the end of the file, right? If you remember, at the end of the file, you can put all the different processes that you want to execute. So if you do want to have access to this physics analysis toolkit, you can execute this line. Otherwise, you'll execute this other line. And remember, here you have all these electrons, the muons, the photons, the jets, everything that you need. If you don't need electrons, you can take them out. There is no problem. But everything that is in this process P path will be executed. And that's what we're going to do as soon as this thing compiles. And the outcome of this is going to be the might output root file that you already saw, perhaps. And what is important for us right now is that it will wait, just running over, I think the default is 200 events or so, something like that. Yes, 200 events, remember? Just running over 200 events from one of these data files, you get a file that waits 5.2 megabytes. Okay, so yeah, I could show you that, but though it's not really necessary, but let's do it. Okay, let's do it. With this line, I just make CMS run in the background, right? And I dump everything in this log file, and I redirect the standard error and output to the standard error or everything to the output, something like this. You can look up this redirectors in bash, and then I send it to the background. So I can look at the file while it's running, and I can still use my my shell. So let's tail this thing and look how it's developing. Of course, I fail. Why is that? Let's see. Did something to the file. I'm sure it did something to the file. Oops. Okay, now I think it's running. But I know it was going to take some time, so I just put all the results here. So let's go through this. You're familiar with this anyway, right? So if you run this over data, just 200 events, with all these processes there, okay? Let's see. I think now it's going doing something. You will get an output of 5.2 megabytes. Yeah. You can check that with this command, and you see that it weighs 5.2 megabytes, right? And you can do a little calculation, a little estimation. If you go to the data set, to the official page of the data set, right? You can see that this data set is, which one did I find? If you calculate the number of the of this one file, remember that this one file, we're in a different data set. This one file from Double Mu Park, the first one in this index file, you calculated the number of events in one of the pre-exercises. Actually, I have it here linked. Yeah, while you were doing the pre-exercises in the CMSSW pre-exercises, you were asked to calculate the number of events. And you went on to use this EDM event size tool from CMS, this little script, and you got the output as 12, a little bit more than 12,000 files. Okay, so that's the number of events we have in this first file. And since we processed 200 of them, running over the whole file will result in 300 megabytes, okay? And then if we go to the dataset record, to the exact dataset record, not the tau plus x, but the double mu part, you can see that this dataset has more than 2000 files already. And right, so if you do the little arithmetics, you we'll figure out that the final size of your execution, if you were to execute the whole data set, will weigh close to 1 terabyte, which is way too large. I would have trouble even thinking of how to download this thing from wherever it is. Anyway, so it's quite difficult. No, things start to get complicated here, and so that's why we skim. We reduce the size of the data set so they are more manageable, and we can probably put them in our laptops and so on. So that's what we did. Let's take another look to this. This got stuck. I don't know. Nothing works when you do demonstrations. So that's why it's better for you to do your hands-on. Anyway, so yeah, believe me, but that is true, right? Okay, so we need a way to skim this thing, to filter this out and just collect the information and reduce the size of these files. And so this is best done using what we call ED filters in CMS. You have talked about, or you have explored all these ED analyzers. Actually, I'm gonna just kill this thing. Yeah, it's running, but it's taking too long, so I'm just gonna kill it. Yeah. So if you explore this source area, that's where all the analyzers are, all the code for the analyzers, the different analyzers, and they all end in analyzer. But there's an exception. There's one which says simple mu tau filter, which you can imagine was written particularly for this workshop. It does what it says it does, right? It filters with requiring one muon and at least one muon, good muon, and at least one tau. So let's explore how this filter looks like. In general, you will see that it looks exactly the same as an analyzer, but it has ED filter here, okay? But otherwise it's exactly the same. You get the input collections for the different objects, and you can configure it to accept certain requirements, like the minimum PT that you require for the muon, or the eta cut. Remember that we are only seeing central muons, and the same for the tau. And then it also has the filter main section. Remember the analyzer had the analyze section. Well, filters have the filter section, and it returns a Boolean. So when it is executed through the CMS's WPath, it will simply act as a filter. It doesn't do anything else. You know, it blocks the event, everything stops processing, and then it goes on to the next event. And so what I have done here is simply look at all the muons, impose certain conditions, essentially that, you know, it has this eta angle less than my cut, which I get from configuration. This eta cut is input by configuration, as you can see here, loaded in the constructor. It imposes a cut on the PT of the muon, and also asks for the muon to be tight, okay? And you went through this with Julie, you know what tight muon means now. And we do something similar for the tau, is a little bit more complicated. Remember yesterday, Julie was talking about all these little helpers, this particle flow tau discriminator. And you apply similar restrictions, kinematical, and also with this flat, this essentially Booleans. Yeah, the decayed mode, you ask for this, you ask for the tau to be tightly isolated. You want tight rejection of electrons and tight rejection of muons. And you don't care which one it is, just loop over the collection of taus, loop over the collection of muons and find one. If you find one of those, then the event passes. Otherwise, it just gets blocked. Okay, you can configure this, as I said, with the POET configuration file, which is here. And you should have commented out, you know, a block where you, actually there are two filters. The first one here, this filter, refers to a filter which was already written in CMSSW that allows you to filter by trigger. We're not going to do that because I'd like to show you, or I'd like you to see later in the hands-on lesson, how is it to deal with the trigger to get the name and maybe the acceptance bit, because it's not necessarily trivial. So we're going to keep the trigger there. I mean, we're not going to ask anything about the trigger. So let's just keep it there. But I have replaced this trigger in case you want to filter like that. The drawback of this analyzer, of this filter, is that it's just it just looks at the acceptance of the trigger, whether the event was accepted or not, and it doesn't know anything about the prescale. So that could be a little dangerous. You always have to check whether the trigger was prescale or not, and that's a whole study by itself when you use this data. Okay, but we can use our simple tau filter. So one thing that we can do is just to uncomment this and give it the parameters, right? So I'm asking, I'm reinforcing essentially, or the analysis, the original simplified analysis basically applies these cuts. It sort of reinforces the cuts asked in the trigger, okay? And gives these minimum values for the PTs and these regions of in ADA. So we're gonna stick to that and we're gonna apply the same changes. So we could save this. And once you run it, you have to believe me because I'm not gonna do it anymore. Once you run it, you will get a file, you know. Oh, one thing that I forgot. Very important. Once you uncomment this filter, right, you get a new mu tau filter right here. This is your mu tau filter configured in this way, which configures this code, right? This is our filter. The C++ implementation is called this way. And once you do that, you can add this process to the path. So I can go here and put process dot mu tau filter or whatever the name was, and put it somewhere in this path. Okay, so the code will go through all these different analyzers, but also through the filter. And if the filter finds that the event is not good, then it will just stop the processing and jump to the other event. Okay, so I'm gonna exit this. That's the way you do it. And if you do that, and if you run, you will end up with a file of just 22 kilobytes. Okay, maybe in 200 events, it turns out that it blocked all the 200 events, and this is, I know that because the 22 kilobytes is just the default size for an empty file. But in any way, that works, that really works. If you run over more events, you get a file size which is around 0.4% less. I mean, you reduce the data set to 0.4%. If you do the math again, you will see that the whole data set can be reduced to around 3 gigabytes. All right, this is a big step, because with file sizes of the order of gigabytes, you can actually download them to your computer and start processing them and look at them more carefully. And of course, we cannot do this. It will take us a long time in our single machine. But fortunately, we have access to the computing infrastructure at CERN, and I use this HD Condor that they have on LX Plus machines at CERN, and I process all these for you in a very similar way. Actually, I took out many of the things here, like electrons, photons, even jets. I didn't put them there because I wanted the files to be small. And okay, I process them. And those are the files, the output of all this processing for all the data sets that we need. Those are the files that I was asking you to copy, okay? And you will find them here at this place, which is my CERN box. And if you haven't done that, so here they are, right? Look at the sizes, they are of the order of megabytes. Okay, in total, they are 1.5 gigabytes. So you have processed like several terabytes of data, maybe tens of terabytes of data. And you have managed to, or we have managed to reduce the size to 1.5 gigabytes and perform our analysis. So you have everything here. You can download it as a zip file or a tar file, I suppose. And put it somewhere available in your container. I usually, if you look at my instructions here, the first ones from before, I usually fire up my container. this one is not the one that I was looking for. I usually fire up my container. Where is that thing? Yeah, I usually fire up my container mounting some volume of my computer into an area of my Docker. So usually I copy things from outside to this area so I can see them in the container. That's why if I do ls playground and I put them somewhere in the while I was preparing this, I made sure I had these files copied over. And so I have them already. See all these root files, I have them there in that volume that I mounted so I can access them really, really quickly. And as I said, we're gonna use these are gonna be our input for the next session, which is a hands-on session. And you will have to work with that. So we have completed by now the step number one. So all this thing, all the processing, which takes a lot of computing resources, we're done with this. And it does take a lot of resources, and that's why you're gonna learn starting from today, how to access or run these kind of things on the cloud. and these root files are the files that we just obtained. So for the hands-on session, what you will be doing is to go through this event loop analysis and learn all about this, process this, and obtain the nice plots or make a replica of the simplified analysis that was already done by Stefan Wunsch. Okay. I hope this wasn't an overkill. If there are questions, I'll be happy to take them. Otherwise, we can go for a coffee. Okay. So shall we stop here?
I'll go ahead and stop the recording.